Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 12. John, chapter 12. I'm going to be preaching this morning on the subject, Palm Sunday, both triumph and tragedy. And I don't know that we've ever really looked at it like that, but hopefully we all will be able to see today that on Palm Sunday, there was both a triumph displayed as well as a tragedy displayed. And we're going to see that. Bible's open. Let me begin reading it. John chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they'd heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they those things that were written of him, and that had been done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done these miracles. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone out after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for this Lord's Day, and we give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for the good service that we've already had and enjoyed. And our Father, thank you for the good attendance this morning, and Lord, for how you're just blessing in spite of all of the negative things of the past several months. Now, Father, this morning I pray that you'd see fit to honor the Word of God as it goes forth. Speak to the hearts of sinners. And Lord, revive the hearts of your people. And help us to realize during this wonderful time of the year that the word victory describes what happens more than anything else. We thank you for the victory of the risen Lord. Now, Father, bless our message today, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A week from today commemorates the day that Jesus said to the stone, Get out of the way, I don't need you any longer. A week from today celebrates a glorious event that Jesus would extract the stinger out of death and would serve notice on the grave that it had just taken a beating. A week from today celebrates an activity on the part of the risen Lord that he would come out of the ground, out of the grave, that he would be resurrected, and then would be able to whisper through the aid of the Holy Spirit of God into the ear of every grieving family member and remind them concerning their departed family member and the departed saints, Peace be still, for the body is not staying in that grave. You see, that's what Easter says to us. Thank God it reminds us that the body will not stay in that grave. It reminds us of the victory that was secured by the risen Lord when he conquered death, hell, and the grave. But now I want us to think about Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. Next week, of course, we celebrate Easter. But something took place on the Palm Sunday account that we read in Scripture that reminds us of tremendous truths. More than a few of those truths have to do with victory. But there was also a tragedy that took place on Palm Sunday that, from the standpoint of our reasoning, is hard to understand. But yet we do understand that blindness in part is happened unto Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, the Bible says. But now at this time, he is being praised. He's being acknowledged as a king. He's being celebrated. The Bible recognizes, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ in fulfilling three roles. Prophet, priest, and king. His kingship was acknowledged when he was born. You know the account of the birth of Christ. You know how the question was asked, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And we know that there's a verse that says, blessed be the king that cometh. So Jesus is destined to be the king. We know he's prophet, priest, and he's king. Now this king was a conquering king. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and aren't you glad? He's the king that proved his kingship. This earth is destined, and I rejoice in this fact, this earth is destined to have at last a perfect government because a king of the universe will be in control. We know today that it's totally the opposite of what it will be then. During that time of tranquility and peace on this earth, when this one that rode into the city of Jerusalem will one day officially be serenaded as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a tremendous truth involved in what we see here. There will no longer be corruption in high places and incompetent leadership. The time is coming, this earth will no longer be ravaged by war, ruined by corrupt politicians, ruined by debt, and rampaged by violence brought on by sin. My friend, that's going to end. I'm glad this mess is coming to a close. I'm glad one day is coming. We will be able to know and to see and to experience firsthand no longer sin, no longer sickness, no longer the virus, no longer the distractions that are causing many people today to be hurt in some way or the other. Thank God this is going to end. Matthew chapter 21. And by the way, it's good to keep this in mind. You know, when you read the account here of the triumphant entry of Christ, it's also good to think of the other portions of the New Testament that parallel this event. Now, in Matthew chapter 21, he sent out the disciples to the place where they had found a colt tied. And he knew where that colt was. Jesus knew where the colt was. He sent the disciples out. He basically said and designated a place, go there, you'll find the colt. And then, when Jesus rides the back of that colt, that thing was just as tame and calm, because after all, the Creator was riding on the creation. And that's exactly the truth. No wonder that colt would yield. No wonder that colt that had never been ridden before would yield to the Master, because He's the Creator. And I believe that little animal had the instinct on that day to cooperate fully to God's plans. So he knew where that colt was. And by the way, there's comfort in that thought. He knows where we are. You see, if he knew where the colt was, he knows where we are. He knows our condition. He knows what troubles us. He knows everything that's going on today. In fact, in John chapter 21, verse number 17, Peter told the Lord something. Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. So no wonder he knew where the colt was. No wonder he knows where we are. No wonder he knows what we need. No wonder he knows all about this service, because he knows all things. He's God. He's omniscient. You know, thank God today for all of those who have trusted positive in trusting the Lord. I tell you, it means more to trust positive than to test positive. Means a lot more. In fact, testing positive has a negative connotation. But trusting positive has the most positive connotation you'll ever find. For those that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, they've trusted positive. And thank God, they've been enabled through salvation to one day see total eradication of all physical impairments and all sins and all bodily ailments. Those who trust positive are on the road to victory. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes that possible. It's all because of that. When God looks at your heart today, and when God looks at the heart of all of you that are watching out there, and I appreciate you watching through YouTube or through, of course, Facebook, I ask this question today. When God looks at your heart, does He see that your heart has trusted positive? That's an important question. The same God who knew where the donkey was, knew where it was tied, He knows where we are. And that same God used the donkey, and He had the two disciples to go and to get the donkey. The donkey obeyed Him, and the donkey came back to Him, and He's riding on the back of an animal that had never been ridden before. That's just like the Lord did something like that. The colt was unbroken. That's what we find as you read Matthew. And it was a dumb beast, but it sure knew its owner. In fact, that donkey had more sense than a lot of people. It knew its owner. Here's something that I had really never seen before in reading this passage about the triumphant entry of Christ. And that's what I like about Scripture. We keep learning, don't we? I ran across something that I had never seen before. And I'm kind of ashamed, because that's the way it is with Bible study. Don't we get ashamed when we see something that is so clear in the Bible, and we wonder how we missed it? And here's what I'm talking about. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 2, here's what it says, and think about this. Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. And a colt with her, loose them and bring them unto me. I've never seen this before. Loose them. Jesus rode the back of the colt. And its mother was there too. Both of those animals were brought. And I wonder why. Then I think I know why. You know, both of those animals together would be a calming effect on both of them. Little colt knowing its mother was with it, and the mother knowing that the colt was with her. That would be a calming effect. Now go with me to the Old Testament in thought, and think about what Isaiah said, and think about other portions of Scripture. Do you know that during the millennium, the lion will lie down with the lamb? During the millennium, there will be peace and tranquility in the animal kingdom. You'll not have to worry about getting bit by a venomous snake. Wild animals will not harm you. During that period of time, you can actually walk up and pet the head of a cougar, and it won't harm you. You know, the Bible is so precious. There's nothing out of order. Keep in mind, when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem riding that animal, He was actually saying, prophesying, proving His kingship. And He is prophetically also reminding us He'll be king on this earth during the millennium. There will be peace among the animals even. So I think here we see that truth brought out in the fact that two animals came. They'd comfort each other. And so again, I think we have a prophetic indication in that. And what a blessing to know that it all ties in together. He came into that city, his own rejected him. He accepted the praise. He accepted the hosannas. But yet his people rejected him. But mark it down, he will be king on this earth. I see a tragedy here on the part of man. My message title is this: Palm Sunday, Triumph and Tragedy. What's the tragedy? It's amazing how the lower creatures will yield to God while man would set himself in opposition to the will of God. Do you know? A week later, that same crowd who said Hosanna will be crying crucify. Their hearts will turn. Their minds will change. You know, in the order of Scripture, in the context of this triumphant entry, it hadn't been too long before Jesus had raised Lazarus. He brought Lazarus out of the ground. And many of those people, they're thinking, well, wow, what a miracle worker he is. Because it was still fresh in their mind that he had raised Lazarus. And now, they're thinking, well, here's a great opportunity to have someone to put the whammy on the Romans. Here's a great opportunity to have him to deliver them from bondage to Roman control. They were thinking physical deliverance. But his mission involves spiritual deliverance. You see, that's the tragedy. He wouldn't be crucified. Oh, yes. Look at what sin did. Look at the activity of man that crucified him and what he went through. But look at the triumph. He had to be crucified. In the prophetic plan of God, his footsteps had to take him to the cross. He had to journey on and fulfill the will of God. But yet the tragedy is from man's side of it. They rejected him. His own people did not get it. They didn't see who he really was. They didn't accept the fact that he was their Messiah. The Bible says he came to his own, but his own received him not. So he turns to the Gentiles. And aren't we glad for that? How many Jews do we have here in the service this morning? Anybody raise your hand? I figured that. We're a bunch of old sinful Gentiles, aren't we? But aren't you, by the way, how many of you are a sinner? Raise your hand. You say, what kind of a catchy question is that? Well, you knew I was going to follow up and say, when you got saved, did that totally deliver you from sin? I don't hardly think so, do you? But it's going to happen. Are we glad today that Jesus turned to the Gentiles? They rejected him. That's tragedy. But Jesus took care of the sin debt. That's triumph. The triumphant entry would begin the week. The Passion Week, as we call it. And every day will be some kind of a momentous event. And finally, he would come to Good Friday and would be crucified. And on the third day would arise and declare victory over death, hell, and the grave. That cemetery out there is in for a hit. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes back, that'll do a hit job on that cemetery. Aren't you glad of that? How many of you have a relative out in that cemetery? Raise your hand. Well, let me encourage you this morning. You already know it. You know, much preaching, I'm thinking sometimes, why even preach this? This crowd already knows it. But it's good to be reminded, isn't it? I do want to remind us all that every saved person buried out there in that cemetery, they're not in there to stay. I would remind you, that's not it. I would remind us all today, they're already in good hands in the presence of the Lord. But when the rapture takes place, they're going to get a new body likened to that of Jesus Christ. If he'd come back while we're living, we wouldn't even have to go through that process there, would we? And I'd kind of like to not have to go through that process, because, I mean, after all, I don't care how close we get to God, none of us are courting death, are we? We want to live as long as we can. So I'd rather go up in the clouds instead of the clod. I think that makes perfect sense. But if it happens, thank God we're not going to be out there. It's just going, like someone said, all that'll be is like a nut. The kernel's already gone. No disrespect towards the body, of course, you know that. But thank God, this king came to town. And thank God he's coming back to that same town. You know, when Jesus comes back to this earth, he'll descend right back to the same place he went up from. So, when he rode into the city of Jerusalem, there was every cause to say, Hallelujah, Hosanna, the King, because that's going to one day be fulfilled when he's back upon this earth. Now, let me hurry here this morning. The triumph. Let's talk about that in just a few moments. Preacher, what's your outline? I don't have one, okay? I have 2 points. The triumph and the tragedy of Palm Sunday. Let's talk a little bit about the triumph. This king would soon fight and win the greatest battle of the ages. This king would conquer the greatest enemy of mankind. This king would bruise a serpent's head. This king would shout from the cross, It's finished. This king would satisfy the Father's demands by the perfect provision in sacrifice for our sins. This king reminds us of the song, Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he crucified, or rising he justifies freely forever. Someday he's coming, oh glorious day. Aren't you happy for that? By the way, one of the Facebook watchers made this comment. And it's good that we take note of that. This Facebook commenter said, there's one thing I don't see a whole lot when people are up there, they're not smiling. So that's constructive. We have every right to smile. I mean, the king is coming, right? The king is coming. And I would advise us all today, myself included, sometimes when I smile, I do have a crazy look on my face because Bell's palsy didn't help me in my smiling department, okay? But I try. And I hear something like that, and I say, thank God, I'm glad people are watching us. But sometimes it does help a little bit to smile. I say that to all of us up here, me starting the process, and all the singers, just learn to smile a little bit. Won't hurt. May help. I can say how many of you this morning have pains and issues going on. Every hand pop up in the air. I know that. Don't we all? But my goodness gracious. The king is coming. We're on good turf. We've been saved. We've been justified. We're going to one day be glorified. All because of what Jesus did. He would conquer death, hell, and the grave. And you know, by the way, read another gospel account of this same passage. Go through all the accounts. Jesus told those disciples something. He said, if his disciples didn't speak out, he said the stones would cry out. The stones would cry out. I've got a sermon that I preach on that sometimes. You know, that's interesting. What would those stones say? I kind of like that thought. Throughout the Bible, you have stones mentioned. Jacob one time used a stone for a pillow. If that stone could speak, that stone would say God's a covenant-keeping God. I'd say when God created man in the Garden of Eden, I believe there were stones dotting the landscape. in the Garden of Eden. If that stone could have spoken, that stone would have said, oh, the tragedy of sin. Oh, the tragedy of sin. What about that mighty stone that got rolled away from the tomb? If that stone could speak, that stone would say, hallelujah. He's risen. I couldn't keep him in. I couldn't contain the body. He come out of there. That's what that stone would say. Stones could speak. They would say, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. If stones could speak, they would say, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Jesus told those disciples that day, told the crowds, he said, let them speak. If they don't speak, the stones may stand in. So a lot went on when Jesus rode into town. He came, by the way, on schedule. He came to the cradle on schedule. He rode into Jerusalem on schedule. He went to the cross on schedule. He arose on schedule. He ascended back to heaven on schedule. And my friend, he's coming back to this earth on schedule. He's an unscheduled God. We might think nothing's going on. We might scratch our heads today and we might wonder, where is God in this whole scheme? Why has he allowed this mess to go on? But just keep in mind, he's an unscheduled God. There's coming a time he'll draw the line. He'll say, I've had enough. I've had enough of people killing babies. I've had enough of people parading up and down the streets not even knowing their gender. I've had enough of the corruption and the pollution. Dear friend of mine, this past week, went to a funeral service. Young guy died from a drug overdose. One day God's going to say, I've had enough. I've had enough of innocent children suffering. I've had enough of people peddling drugs across the border, and it's going to get worse since we have a president that doesn't know what he's doing. It's going to get worse. And my friend, there's one thing you can count on me. I'm going to speak my piece. The world, the government can get mad, but I still am declaring today what I declared the first message I preached. God hates sin, but God loves a sinner. There's a heaven, but there's a hell. And the things that are going on in this world today, and politicians aren't helping it, one of these days, God's going to say, I've had enough. When Jesus came to town that day, he declared more than what the average eye will ever see. This event was a part of God's perfect plan. And by the way, it's a prescription for peace and security when realized on the part of God's people. You and I today that accepted this one that rode into town, we know what it's all about. We have that peace that passeth all understanding. He is coming back to this earth, as I've said. He will be the king upon the throne. This world will finally be rid of all diseases and all sin. The same promised Messiah who is destined to die on the cross is destined to reign upon the throne. He totally took care of the sin debt hanging over man's soul. When he cried, it's finished. He meant just that. And oh, what a transaction that was. He completed the work of redemption. He straightened out the mess that Adam started. Every sinner owes a debt they can't pay. But Jesus paid the debt he didn't owe. His perfect substitutionary work on Calvary was the perfect payment for man's sins. And when a sinner accepts his work on their behalf, the light comes on. The debt is gone. And thank God the spiritual stock market will never crash. It'll never. The economy can get so bad, and by the way, as we keep printing money like it's monopoly money, it's going to happen anyway. We better not put a whole lot of confidence in the value of the dollar, but we can always put total confidence in the value of redemption. through Jesus Christ. When he came to town that day, my friend, he came on a mission. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray today that if there's any lost sinner that has never accepted this one that rode into town, who will be king upon this earth, have never accepted him as king of their life, may they humbly right now cry out to God as a sinner, acknowledge their sinnership, and trust his redemptive accomplishment. Father, if there's someone right now that's confused on how to be saved, may they be willing to pray this sinner's prayer from the heart. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. Come into my heart. Thank you for being crucified, buried, and risen, and coming again. Father, if there's someone in this building that has not been saved, may they pray that prayer from the heart. Those that are watching, likewise, may that be true as well. Bless now this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not crystal clear about being saved, I urge you to come today. Maybe you've already prayed that sinner's prayer. If you have, let us know about it. But if you want to just come and pray today at this altar and talk to the Lord and pour your heart out to him over something that's been going on that you need his help, you come while we sing. Brother Mike, what's the song?
Number 275.